Hey, listening friend, welcome to the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's February 13th, 2013. Wow, is there some significance? 13, Jason?
I don't know. I don't think 13 is a lucky number, so let's not dwell too long here.
What happens at 1313 Mockingbird Lane? Do you remember that address? Do you know where that is?
Where is it?
That's the. Isn't that the Addams Family or the Munsters?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, the Addams Family. Okay, where is that? The Munsters.
Oh no! Don't even. Okay, well,
you connect, even though I'm 10 or 12 years older than you. I'm surprised that all the different sitcoms, the things I grew up watching, even some of the music, you somehow connected into the tail end of all that, because so many of the genres are things that are indicative of my generation or some.
It's the Munsters.
The Munsters. Okay, well, somebody probably pulled that off right away.
Anyways. It's because I grew up with, what was the precursor to Fox? Channel 32 was it WFLD or what was that?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it was all the reruns all day long. I Love Lucy, The Munsters. Yeah. I mean, all those shows, Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah, Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, man.
Andy Griffith, that was the kind. Did you used to watch...
Sanford and Son was 6 o'clock because I remember my grandmother would always watch it with me because she thought it was kind of sketchy.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of funny because a lot of times when I bring up something, you always get it. And, you know, sometimes when I even text you, I'll qualify it and you said, I get that. You don't have to, like, I got that. I was like, wow. So anyways, that's kind of fun. Hey, well, let's see. We've had this studio filled with guests so far this week. Matthew Slater on Monday, and he assists you at the Community Evangelical Free Church with the youth and with the Awana program. So it was fun hearing some of his testimony.
Does a great job.
Got a lot of feedback and the importance of mentoring and how you've discipled him and befriended him. And gosh, we could talk a lot about that today, just the importance of men modeling and pouring into younger people's lives. In fact, you've talked about that in the past and having older people discipling you and people that are like your own age, those Barnabases and those Pauls and those Timothys in your life. And then yesterday, Gary Wackerlin drove out. I appreciated that. He fit me just in between two appointments and talked about Celebrate Recovery and the movie Home Run. And so I mentioned yesterday I wanted to go to that movie with you because I wanted to see you cry during it.
That's real nice.
It has some real. So you've kind of been talked about on Monday and Tuesday, so I figure I got to give you some fair time today. But I have a third thing I want to share with you, and this parallels with some of your sermon on Sunday. You talked about growing up and loving Iron Man and the comic books, and you know your grandmother could take you down to the Walgreens or the drugstore and buy you a copy.
It was
or
the
two.
Rexall. That's how old it was. I don't think there is a Rexall drugs anymore.
Did you used to have a Ben Franklin's? Were they around in your?
You know what? This is funny, and so this will harken back too to TV. When I grew up, my mom worked weird shifts. She worked overnight. She was a single mom. And so I would be with my grandmother a lot, and my grandmother worked a weird shift, too, until she was like 65, 70. I mean, grandmother didn't care about retirement. She just kept working. So I watched a lot of TV.
Yeah, yeah.
But my grandmother took me and bought me the $6 million man Steve Austin action figure.
Sure.
At Woolworths.
Oh, yeah.
Over there in North Riverside, over there just kind of off Oak Park. But, yeah, go to Zaire, go to Ben Franklin. Ben Franklin was a cool one as a kid because it was like a hodgepodge of everything. I mean, you could buy anything you wanted.
The candies, the toys, It was they used to call them, the five and dime or whatever?
I'll tell you what, my grandmother grew up on Elm Street in Oak Park. And then when she moved later on to where near that drugstore that I talked about, it's on the other side of the bridge. But right at the corner of her street, there was at that point, he was elderly, maybe he was 75, 80 years old, a senior saint, but he still had a penny candy store. So I have fond memories of being 6, 7 years old and going down the street to the penny candy store, and it was still 5 cents, so 20 cents for candy, and he had all the jars, and so you could pick the candy out. It was really cool.
Yeah, the old days. Well, I got a special surprise from your son, and it kind of ties in with your comic books. I have my own personalized Iron Man, and I marvel. Do you see how he printed this? I'm going to put this on I'm going to do a Facebook posting. Actually, I already have, but it's on the Great News Radio website, Facebook, and then I'm going to put it on the homepage. But look at his printing.
Yeah.
I thought for sure you did the Iron Man, the guidebook, and then he at the bottom signed his name by Jacob. But, I mean, that's better printing than me. I mean, that's like an adult. I mean, wait till you see this. And what, is he six, seven now?
Seven.
Seven now. Okay, so we're going to go through this little comic book because this, I'm telling you, this blessed me. I mean, this is probably how a parent feels when their child creates a creative work and they put it on the refrigerator. So I'll post this. But Iron Man, the guidebook by Jacob. And then there's like the Iron Man mask.
Uh-huh.
And this is like he stapled and he wanted to apologize while we were having our men's meeting. He's like, you know that noise you heard in the other room? And we're like, yeah, what was that noise? You know, because we really need it. He goes, well, that was me trying to use the big stapler, the adult stapler, because he bound these number of pages. So you turn over
we
the
first
page.
We have those all over our house. We have so much white paper in our house. We've never in our life needed to buy so many staples. But there was a point in school where they made a book. It was early this year in his first grade, and ever since then he makes books like crazy. They're everywhere.
Well, this one, you turn the first page, you look at to my best friend Mark J.S. and I said, "Hey, those are your dad's initials."
He tells Tasha that you're his best big friend.
Yeah.
And Tasha goes, "What's a big friend?" And he goes, "He has a car."
Yes. And that look at he has a table of contents for this. I mean, Iron Man, the guidebook contents, and then Tony is page 2, Mark 1. Page 4, Mark 3, page 6, Mark 5, page 8, and Whiplash. And I'm like, gosh, what's with all these marks? But I guess that's the name of the Iron Man guy or the Iron Man figure.
Those are the iterations of his different armor, why his armor looks different at different times in the movies. He has a new iteration of it. But you know how I told you a number of weeks ago, maybe it was a month ago. Well, it was before Christmas because I gave you a copy for Christmas. But I said, if you want to be my friend, you have to read Abraham Joshua Heschel's The Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, if you want to be Jacob's friend, you need to be schooled in Iron Man because he gave you a guidebook.
And it is
probably his favorite. And it's like a father-son thing. It's his favorite superhero now, too, which has been amazing. You know, I want you to go through the book, but it's been amazing because in the church, we're going through the full armor of God, mm-hmm. Ephesians 6 through 20. And Jacob and I have had amazing dinnertime conversations because he gets it. He makes the connection with Iron Man. You know, last night we were talking about evil and we're talking about Satan, which is for a 7-year-old kind of a strange concept. He gets evil, especially because he likes comic books, but he has trouble understanding where Satan fits into that. And that, so it was really crazy. I said, and I think I used it in the sermon on Sunday morning. I said, Jacob, Satan is powerful and he is evil and he is invisible. And I said, but he is not invincible. And Jacob goes, Iron Man is the invincible Iron Man. Mm. And I said, and when we put on the armor, he goes, we're invincible. And he made that connection, like the dots were connected, mm-hmm. that Satan is not invincible, but we are in the power of the Lord. So,
yeah, what a little gem. So I turned into page 2, Tony. So that must be the name of one of these characters.
That's the Iron Man guy.
Okay, the Iron Man. Being Iron Man is very tough. But having an arc reactor makes it easy. And you did. You talked about the illustrations of, you know, when we put on the full armor of God out of Ephesians, you know, and we take up the breastplate and, you know, the Bible talks about the different armaments, the different things, that, you know, the breastplate, the helmet, the sword, the shield, and the sash that we put around mm-hmm. and getting on our feet readied and so forth. And so, yeah, it's a great series. Okay, so we turn. So then there's a drawing of this Iron Man, of Tony, I believe, and then we go to page 4. And this is Mark 1 here. As a suit made of scraps, the Mark 1 suit shoots blazing hot fire. And then all this fire is coming out of this Iron Man figure on page number 5. It's just classic. And it's all these orangey lines that are all over, orangey red lines that show all the fire. Then we go to the next page, page 6, Mark 3. Thought as the regular Iron Man, the Mark III blows up bad guys. And so you have this really tough-looking Iron Man on page 7. He's the Mark III, I guess, model. And then we go to page number 8, the Mark V, the suitcase Iron Man. Suit is Mark. And then there's the Iron Man. And then you turn it over, and I think this is his favorite. I think he commented about this. Whiplash. known as the man with electric whips. Whiplash is a nightmare. He shows this guy with these blazing whips that are coming out of him. And I think that's the word. Does that seem right? Okay, yeah. The spelling on known as the man with electric, it's N-O-N. But I think that's supposed to be known. And then he gave me the additional insert. This is the Whiplash Man on a separate page, and then Mark 5.
So. Well, he's into, he's a sharp tack. So, you know, if you buy the book, you always get something free. So he gives you the free insert.
The little add-on.
Yeah, now see, he's got you. So now he'll start, $19.95 a month for for additional inserts.
Yeah, the subscription will come in the mail, and I'll be like, what did I just buy?
We worked on that last night for a small seed gift.
Yes. Get in on this ground floor opportunity.
That's right.
Cartoons by Jacob. So anyways, that was just sort of fun, and appreciate the sun. And it's so well tied in with your sermon series on putting on the full armor and the importance of us being readied and prepared each and every day, not just putting on the armor once and figuring, well, I accepted Jesus, so everything's going to work out. This is kind of a daily, maybe even an hourly practice that we have to be mindful. Lord, I'm putting on the full armor today. I want to walk in step with your will. But there's going to be attacks by the enemy. There's going to be times where our armor gets kinked or our armor gets bent and needs to be repaired or fortified or strengthened. And so I don't know.
You know, a great thought in this, two things. Number one is we have to understand. Somebody came up to me, I think it was after the service this week, and they go, I understand what you're doing and it's really fun. But they said, why do you feel the need to make the connection between the Bible and the superhero? And I said, I didn't make the connection between the Bible and the superhero. I said, God made that connection. What we need to understand is that holy things are not just in holy places, that all of life has a theology to it. All of life has a belief to it. I mean, is it shocking to you that at its core, a comic book is the battle between the eternal struggle between good and evil? And I say eternal because eternal means an unknown amount of time, and it means ongoing. You know, when I was a kid, I would go to the my grandmother, as we said, would take me to this Rexall drugstore, and I'd get to pick out a comic book, and I'd sit down. And this is back when comic books were still on a rack, the tall, round rack. And I would sit down there, and I would spin the rack around and look. I'd look for Iron Man. I'd look for Spider-Man. I'd look for any of the Captain America, those superheroes that I loved. But now, as I look back and think about, every single month, the enemy kept coming back. Mm-hmm. There wasn't like a month where they had a comic book like, and now Iron Man just sits around, you know, in his boxer shorts and watches TV. there wasn't that. There wasn't an issue like that. Every single issue, there was an enemy who kept coming back. He kept attacking. And every time he kept attacking, this Tony, this Iron Man, had to continually put back on his armor. Mm-hmm. He had to continually lean back into a power that was not his own. Because inside the armor, without the armor, he was a regular human being. So he had to continually lean into a greater power, this armor, so that he could stand against the enemy. Three times in this passage it says to stand. It says that you may be able to stand your ground, and when you've done everything, to stand, and then stand firm. You know, when you've done everything, when you've done all you can do, you need to continue to stand, and not just stand, but at that point stand firm, because you're going to be tired and you're going to want to waver. You need to stand firm. So the connection to Iron Man is because there's a connection to an eternal evil that keeps coming. It's continually present. And so we need to remember that. And the other part of it is that, you know, somebody asked me this week, they said, so do we just put on the armor, or do we have to continue to put on the armor? And I said, I think that it's a daily practice. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a continual practice. I think that the greatest danger we have as Christians is to see things as a destination. I've put on the armor. I'm done. And I think you made a great comment, which spurred my comment, which is that our armor gets chinks in it. Look, we're taking flaming darts from the enemy. Mm-hmm. We're taking arrows. We're being attacked. Things are happening left and right. Our armor gets damaged. We need to continually take up that armor, because if we don't, we'll subtly shift back into not being strong in the Lord and his mighty power, but trying to be strong in ourselves and our weakness, in our frailty, in our inability. And that's not what the Bible tells us to do. The Bible says to be strong in the mighty power of the Lord, which is that Greek word dunamis, which means power. It means dynamite. It's where we get the word dynamite from. You know, 2 Corinthians 10:4 that says that we have this power. We don't fight as the world fights, but we have this power to demolish strongholds, to blow it up. Notice that passage doesn't say that we take a stronghold captive and we plant our own flag. We blow it up. We level it to the ground. The Holy Spirit comes in and he blows it up and he levels it. I'm not sure where it is, but I read it recently. It's in Acts where it says that Paul came in the power of the Spirit and he preached to the Jews, and they were baffled, and they accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Paul did is he came in the power of the Spirit and blew up their worldview, blew up their conception of God, blew up what they had built as they thought God was, and leveled it, and there was Jesus. And isn't that fascinating? Because in Ephesians 2:17, it says that Jesus came and knocked down the dividing wall. He blew it up. And some of us forget about coming in the power of the Spirit. That's just leaning in and understanding that the Spirit can do immeasurably more than we can know and imagine. One of my favorite passages as I've been studying through this series, and even in the last series that we were doing at the church, is in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 4, where Paul says, I didn't come with wise or persuasive words, but instead with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Because you know what, as a pastor and as a preacher, I can get up on Sunday morning and I can start to believe that I have wise and persuasive words. I can start to believe that it's somehow going to be what I say and what I do that's going to make a difference. And it's not. The Apostle Paul said, it's about a demonstration of the power of the Spirit, the power that can convict and change and guide and lead and blow up all the falsehoods and all the things in our life that we think is important or we think is true. You know, some of us have built a stronghold inside of our hearts that is filled with words of condemnation. And Romans says that there is no condemnation in Christ. When you hear a word that is condemnation, that is not Christ. That is not Jesus. That's a stronghold that's been built by an enemy who seeks to destroy you, who seeks to do it. And let me tell you what, he does it from the inside. He begins to whisper into your heart, and then he builds a fortress, and then he builds a couple of citadels around that fortress, and pretty soon he's got a kingdom inside of your heart, and you start to look at another kingdom instead of the kingdom. And we've got to be vigilant to that.
You know, I'm thinking of one of my top five all-time favorite books, and in light of the series that you're preaching on, I haven't given you a copy of Christian in Complete Armor, have I?
No.
That was one of those where I bought, like, 10 sets, because it's a three-part volume, and it's written by this Puritan from, it's right up your alley, like the 1700s, William Purnell.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of my all-time favorites, but it's three volumes just on that Ephesians passage about putting on the full armor, and I love the beginning.
Do you even love me?
Yeah. I, you know, I'm going to have to find, I think I have volumes 2 and 3 upstairs. I bought extra copies of volume 1, and I haven't given them away in a long time, but it's so classic. But I love that concept. I wish I have a Bible open in front of me, but it's that standing in the Lord. The power does not come because we're strong in and of ourselves. We have abilities. We are learned or whatever. Our power comes because we're standing in the Lord's strength. He's the one that's going to ultimately do the battle. It's not that we're going to be really good at battling ourselves. Us battling against Satan, we lose.
Oh, yeah.
But if the Lord's going to be there, he's going to be the one that's victorious, and we can stand firm in him. It's just so important that our strength comes from him. And even with these superheroes, their strength and their power, that comes from outside of themselves.
Right. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Hey, I don't know what this says. I know we're running a little out of time, but I didn't have so much of the superheroes as what I got in comic books. You know what I used to love and always buy, and you'll laugh, a little difference. I loved Richie Rich, that rich little kid that always could afford everything and buy the, you know, contraptions, or he always drove in a limousine. I loved Richie Rich and Archie. So
you kind of look like Richie Rich.
Yeah. He was like my idol. I love that Richie Rich, and just he always
went. We used to read that in Archie. There was a barber in Oak Park there, not too far from the grocery store, who cut my hair, and those are the only comic books he had, and he would always give us comic books too.
Yeah.
Once you find out that, I don't know what it was. You know what, that generation gave comic books. That was like currency.
Yeah, yeah.
I mowed some guy's lawn once, I got a comic book. I'm like, does anybody have any money?
Yeah. Yeah, Richie Rich. I love that kid because he was a philanthropist, if you will, and he always was giving out cash and helping the poor. But he had all that money, so I don't know. You were the superhero guy. I was the wealthy little kid. You know,
Maybe the next sermon series, we'll do one on Richie Rich.
Richie Rich and using that wealth, using our time, our treasures, our abilities.
We'd have to call it like Richie Give or something like that.
Yeah. So anyway, but what a powerful series, and hopefully some of you today will spend some time in God's Word, and especially let's recommend Ephesians as a reading today. And before you go out the door, or maybe you're driving along, ask the Lord to equip you with His armor, with His strength, with all the things that He can help you through this day to be effective, to be fortified. And there are going to be trials that can come your way. There's going to be attacks from the enemy. And don't worry about whether you're strong enough to stand firm. Just stand firm in the Lord, and He'll provide all that you need.
Yes.
I got my Bible open now to Ephesians, so why don't I close out with some of these special words from Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the days of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words will be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Listening friend, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a disciple of Jesus, you are also an ambassador for God, and you need to be ready to be His spokesman, to go out into this hurting world, preach a good news message, the love of God, but you need to be fitted with the armor. So put it on today, be prayed up, and seek those opportunities where God's going to use you. Oh, what an exciting day we have ahead of us, everyone. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night. Thank you.